Yeah, hi, this is Mike Swanson. You're listening to Wall Street Window, and I got with me Dave Skirica. How you doing, Dave?
I'm pretty good. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Well, it looks like we've been pretty busy today with your newsletter, because I know we're doing this special limited offer that we started Tuesday, and it's going to close up Friday night or tonight. So, but we'll talk about that later on. Right now, let's just focus on the stock market here as we go into the close. Looks like the market's up a little bit. I know 2 days ago we had a big punch in the nose to the stock market as it got knocked down pretty good, but it's come back nicely in the past 2 days. I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think with me, the thing that the reason I'm a little positive than actually most of the pundits I see right now in the short to intermediate term is we know that this trade has been going on in the last couple of years where when the dollar goes up, the market goes down, and the dollar goes down, and the market goes up. And it looks to me with today's action, the U.S. dollar is actually down pretty good today, about 0.4%, half a percent. And it looks to me like it might have put in a short-term top. Now, it still might have one leg higher ultimately, but it looks like we're going to pull back kind of maybe like we did in December, January for maybe a few weeks or a month in the U.S. dollar, and the euro is going to see a relief rally. And that, of course, could bode well for stocks. So I'm a little more short-term bullish than maybe some people, other people here.
Well, right now, what's the most interesting thing that you're looking at in the stock market? What do you think has the most potential?
I actually think, and we outlined this in my presentation with a part of this promotion that we're doing, is I think actually these smaller mining companies are still the most interesting part of the market. And the reason being is you're always looking for a trend that's going up and the most undervalued part of that trend, because you know that has the most limited upside and probably the most up or limited downside, sorry, and most upside. And if you look at these little stocks like where they were a few years ago, where they are now, like a lot of them are still 50-60% below their highs. And a lot of the selling actually was hedge fund selling that wiped them out. And the good thing about that is there's not a lot of overhang on the companies, even though you think that something is half its high would have a lot of overhang, because the guys who bought near the top were actually these funds. So I think they still look very good here. That if, a couple of those smaller producing gold stocks I have on my list or smaller exploration companies, they're the kind of, a few of those are the things that I would buy right now, because I don't see them having a whole lot of downside, even if, say, the market continues to correct. I think those look quite good. And another note is gold, if you look at it since it topped, is now in this kind of short downturn, a down channel. And the upside of that channel is about 11.25 to 11.30. And, of course, what about 11.15 as we're speaking here today? So if we go through the upside of that channel, say dollar pulls back in the next few weeks and do it in the next few weeks, things look quite good for gold and gold stocks. Like, I don't know if we'll break out on this run, you know, but gold could be poised to go back, challenge 1200 again, you know, say in the next month or two.
Yeah, it definitely looks like that to me too, because when you look at the chart of gold, you can easily see this channel it's in that you're talking about. And at the same time, like you said, it looks like the dollar is making some sort of top here. It's just been basically, you know, not going anywhere for the past couple of days and looks kind of weak. And then I also think that the broad market is in a short-term rally that started on February the 5th when we saw the last correction that took place from January to then. And I basically think the market is, you know, in an upward to sideways bias from now till probably sometime in April. So I don't think we're going to immediately go higher in the stock market. You know, I'm talking about the broad market, S&P 500, Dow, and so forth. But I think it's probably going to go sideways another couple days, maybe another week, and then, you know, make another move up and just kind of creep up.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And that should be good for gold.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've been saying all along that I thought this year was like 1976, and that when you had the 74 bear market, 75 was a really good year. You know, the market had a huge run like it did in 2009 off the December 74 retest bottom. And 76 was a year where the market kind of made a topping pattern, but edged up very slightly kind of throughout the year. There wasn't a lot of volatility. And I just think that there's too much negative sentiment, like on any little economic indicator or any like little bit of bad news, like the stuff from Greece or this news that China is going to slow itself down. Everyone, like you see, like, you know, Bob Prechter gets on TV again and gets on the front of the financial news and calling for a collapse. So I think there's still a lot of edginess in it, in the markets. And I think when we'll get a decline is when the edginess leaves, that people will say 6 months from now, you know, S&P is still 1,100, 1,200. People say, oh, you know what? China slowed down and the market held up and Greece got through that and the market held up. And that's when you'll get the complacency, which will set this tone for a decline. And so I tend to agree with you. I don't see huge gains. Like my ultimate top kind of target here since the rally began last March has been about 1,200 on the S&P. Well, of course, we're only about 7 or 8% below that. So that's not a big deal if we get there from here.
Well, do you have any, I think we pretty much covered our views on the stock market pretty well. I don't really think there's really a lot that's changed from now until last week, except that the gold stocks do look a little better now than they did then.
I think they'll really be helped by this euro. Like you mentioned how the dollar looks weak. I've been saying on the other point of view that a lot of the dollar strength has only been euro weakness anyhow. And if you look at what happened on Thursday morning, it was really interesting with the market gap down and the euro was only down a little bit because there was more bad news coming out of Greece. And the euro actually finished up on Thursday and it's up again today or Friday. And there's a record short position on the euro. So any kind of little good news of a Greece bailout or whatever is going to trigger a short-term rally. And of course, that should really help the gold and gold stocks. So because the dollar would decline in that. But the dollar kind of made a reversal last Friday when it had a big gap up and finished down. And it's been unable to take up out that reversal high. So I think, yeah, this could be this short-term decline. I think in the short term, and I'm not much of a short-term trader, but I think if you were, the short term, as you just mentioned, the most interesting thing is probably the gold stocks, because even if the dollar just is a short-term pullback, it could pull back to 78, 79, which would just a 1 or 2 point pullback like that would probably lead to a very good pop in gold and gold stocks.
Well, I was just thinking while you're talking. I know, you don't like to toot your own horn too much, but I really think, like, right now, one of the best investments someone can make isn't buying, one of the stocks or the ETFs or mutual funds, but just taking a subscription to your newsletter, especially now because we have this, you have this deal structured that people are going to get basically three newsletters for the price of one. And I know from my own experience that, knowing you and reading your letter has been real helpful in my own investing. I mean, I started getting into gold stocks in 2002, and that's really why I subscribed to your letter. I got yours and, six or other newsletters that were primarily gold, and I found yours to be the best one. And, of course, we share ideas all the time, and people can get a feeling of that. Listening to these podcasts, but it's really, they're useful and good. We're going to keep doing them and everything, but it's really not a substitute for getting your real material.
Yeah, and I think with these newsletters, I think the most interesting service I'm setting up is on top of my own newsletter, I'm setting up this kind of international investing newsletter. And I'll have it's a monthly letter, and I'll have commentators from places like Chile and the UK and Hong Kong and Australia and some other countries, and that will give you a big global perspective. And with the U.S., in my opinion, stock market in this long-term range, like it was in the 70s, that's probably going to continue for another 5 or 10 years. You're going to have to look around the world for kind of these opportunities. Like, for example, John Templeton made a killing in Japanese stocks in the 70s, right? When essentially the U.S. market did nothing. So I think that service, if you sign up for this 3-to-1 offer, and you only get it this time on this offer, for this particular offer, that kind of service that will open you up to those international opportunities is really going to be a benefit. Because the one problem I find that we have in North America is because the U.S. is the largest economy in the world, we tend to be very just like centrally looking at what's happening in North America, where there's all these opportunities all over the world. And I think that letter will help people open up to that.
No, well, the thing about the difficulty in being an American, I guess, is that all 99% of the financial news is about U.S. stocks. And if they do talk about a foreign stock, it's something like Toyota or some real giant well-known company. And it's tough to get good information about what's going on in foreign markets, even though there's enormous potential there. But because it's hard to get good information, you can also end up getting trapped in bad stocks. Because there's lots of, you know, I get these flyers in the mail of these penny stocks for China companies, and you know, 99% of these kind of things aren't any good. And not just them, but even some of the ones that trade on the NASDAQ. For example, I remember several months ago, there was some stock that was just trading, and I saw it, you know, appear several times when I was running through stocks myself. And you told me, you mentioned it to me, and you knew someone in China that was telling you the whole thing was a complete scam, and they were just faking their earnings and all this kind of stuff. And no one would know that. And it traded on the NASDAQ and actually got some brief news coverage on when they did the opening bell on CNBC.
Yeah, and this stock has gone from 50 cents to as high as $15. And we're not mentioning it now, but probably sometime, I expect actually I might even short this thing. But not. I don't think now is the time. But yeah, I think this is the problem is that you get all kinds of things like that. And especially in China, where Class A shares are restricted towards foreign investors, you're going to see people try to take advantage of the American market by, say, listing these not so great companies on the OTC or whatever. So that's the nice thing about having people on the ground in these countries, because they'll be able to tell you what's going on. Like you said, like someone I knew in China actually went to this company's plant and saw that basically this is garbage what they're saying. They're not having these kind of earnings or this kind of production. So that's the advantage of kind of having this service. And like you said, the biggest problem is the U.S. is so big, and it has such a large influence in the world. All you ever hear is about, you know, American news or American stock markets as Americans. Like, for example, just go watch Fox News and go watch BBC, and you'll see, like, completely different. Like, BBC, I saw a special recently on the first African cell phone maker that's in Zambia. Fox News, you don't even know that Zambia is a country in the world. You never would hear it once, right? So it's just this big difference we can see. And I think that's what I want to open people up to. I want to open people up to kind of this global market and show people there's opportunities everywhere all the time.
But like we were saying, you need people in place or people you can talk to and get information from. And that's what you're kind of getting ready to do, is have these kind of views in this newsletter, you know, from people in these countries. So I think it's going to be really interesting, unique resource I don't really see anywhere else.
Yeah, if you just have to look at the basic trend, like there's more car sales in the emerging world now than there is in the developed world for the first time ever. The emerging world's approaching the point where it's getting over 50% of the global GDP, where, you know, that was always Europe and the U.S. represented more than half the world's GDP. So you're seeing it kind of take over, and it doesn't mean that you have to and I saw Mark Faber say this recently, it doesn't mean you have to jump into it today, but because it's going to have a continued large influence and it's going to grow faster, you do want to start looking at the opportunity. So it might not even be about buying a company in Brazil today, but what it could be about is that you set yourself up, you know which companies are trading, and then essentially you know, you get ready for if there is going to be a decline in the market, you think you can buy those companies when they show weakness or they're again like cheap or whatever. So that's what I'm hoping that service will be able to do for people. And even if it is not so much about stock picks, it's just exposing people to other economies and other parts of the of global markets that maybe they didn't know otherwise existed.
Well, that's important too, because you don't want to buy individual stocks. You can invest in ETFs and mutual
funds
just as easily. Well, yeah, thanks for
the country's going. The easiest thing is either just buy the telecom company or buy the ETF. ETF, you know.
Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, for sure. And,